والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given us another opportunity that He has not given to all of His creatures. Last week we did not have the opportunity to sit like we do, because one of our brothers, Rahman, may Allah forgive him, he passed on, and he was to be buried. So we did not have the opportunity to continue with the reading. We are all at the, or most of us were at the janazah. We ask Allah to forgive the brother. So we thank him for giving us this opportunity, this chance. We pray that he forgives our mistakes and overlook our shortcomings. Today, inshallah, we'll read the 25th hadith in this book, Al-Arba'un Al-Nawawiyyah. That hadith, in it, Al-Imam Al-Nawawi says, alayhi rahmatullah, عن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه أيضا أن ناسا من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قالوا للنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يا رسول الله ذهب أهل الدثور بالأجور يصلون كما نصلي ويصومون كما نصوم ويتصدقون بفضول أموالهم قال أوليس قد جعل الله لكم ما تصدقون إن بكل تسبيحة صدقة وكل تكبيرة صدقة وكل تحميدة صدقة وكل تهليلة صدقة وأمر بالمعروف صدقة ونهي عن منكر صدقة وفي بضع أحدكم صدقة قالوا يا رسول الله أيأتي أحدنا شهوته ويكون له فيها أجر قال أرأيتم لو وضعها في حرام أكان عليه فيها وزر قالوا نعم فكذلك إذا وضعها في الحلال كان له أجر رواه مسلم. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, radiyallahu anhu, one of the eminent companions of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, from amongst those we are going to refer to as As-Sabiqun al-Awwalun, because he is from the Muhajirun. So he is Muhajir, and all the Muhajirun are from the Sabiqun al-Awwalun. The Muhajirun are from the Sabiqun al-Awwalun. So Abu Dharr al-Ghifari is from the Sabiqun, and he is the one, like we said about him once, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to him, fahal anta muballighun anni qawmak, are you going to tell your people about me? So this is sufficient for him as a fadila, that the Prophet wants to make him alayhi salatu wasalam as an ambassador of him to his people, someone who muballighun ani rasuli sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam qawmahu, he will tell the people, his own people, about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. It is sufficient for Abu Dharr as a fadila, as a fadl, as a virtue, honor, that he's been asked this duty by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And that's why what he said alayhi salatu wa salam, he says asallahu an yanfa'ahum bika wa ya'juraka fihim, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yanfa'ahum bika, by you Allah will bring benefit to them. And it happened like that. by Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, Allah brought benefit to Banu Ghifar, because he talked to his brother first, and then his mother, and then his people, and then Banu Aslam. So from Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, all of these people accepted Islam. So he's from the Sabiqun. And then he also made Hijrah to Medina, radiyallahu anhu. So he is the one who has reported this hadith again, this eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, radiyallahu anhu. So Imam al-Nawawi said, and Abu Dharr aydan, Abu Dharr reported this also, because the previous hadith, al-hadith al-Qudsi that we read, was also reported by Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. That hadith, Ya ibadi, inni haramtu al-zulm ala nafsi, waj'altuhu baynakum muharrama, fala tazalam. Was also, and so on, was also reported by Abu Dharr. So that was why Imam al-Nawawi said, Aydan, because the previous hadith was also reported by Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. What did he say? رضي الله عنه أن ناسا من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قالوا للنبي. He said ناسا, some people, من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. So the Sahaba, we know who is a Sahaba. كل من لقي النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وآمن به ومات على الإسلام فهو صحابي. كل من لقي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Every person who met the Prophet, not necessarily see the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, but he met the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's not necessarily seen, because some of the companions did not see. They are blind people. Some of the companions, we are blind people. So they did not see, like, Abdullah ibn Maktum or Uthman ibn Maktum. The two has been reported about him. So, but it's more popularly known as Abdullah ibn Maktum. He was blind. He did not see the Prophet Muhammad, but he met the Prophet Muhammad. So it included all other blind companions. Kullu man lakiya nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa amana bihi, and then believes in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So meeting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, believing in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not everyone who met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam believes in the Prophet. People like Abu Lahab met the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they did not believe him. So they are meeting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or seeing him, which some of the companions did not do, like Ibn Maktum, despite the fact that he was Muazzin of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite the fact that the Prophet would go on one battle and make him be the one who will lead the people in Salah in Medina. They saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they did not believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these people, they are seeing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is of no benefit. So that is why it's a refutation to the Sufiya who will say they slept and saw the Prophet Muhammad. So what? So seeing the Prophet does not suffice until you see, you believe him. That is what will give value to your seeing the Prophet Muhammad. And that is by the statement of the Prophet himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said, as is reported by Imam Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman ad-Darimi in his Sunan Darimi, that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Tuba liman ra'ani wa amana bi. He says, Tuba liman ra'ani wa amana bi. Glad tidings of Al-Jannah. For the one, ra'ani, who saw me, wa amana bi, and believed in me. So seeing the Prophet does not suffice. Seeing and then believing him. So everyone who met the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَكُلُّ مَنْ لَكِيَ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَآمَنَ بِهِ, and believed him, وَمَاتَ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. This is that is, and that he died upon Islam. This is because some people saw the Prophet Muhammad. They believed in the Prophet Muhammad. that they died as kuffar. One of them ran away, he ran to Dimashq when he is the father of a companion, when alcohol was banned and prohibited. I didn't forget the name of the companion, I just don't like mentioning it. He ran away after alcohol was prohibited. Me, can't stop alcohol. That was what he said. So he ran away and died upon what he died upon, outside Islam. So this set of people, it is not for them. It is not for them. So the one who meets the Prophet and believes in him must die upon Islam before his suhbah could be said to be established. And this would also include anyone who saw the Prophet and can remember that I saw the Prophet say or do, or no matter his age. Once he's sensible, he's intelligent enough to know that I saw the Prophet one day he did so so, one day he said so so, one day he said so so. Because people like Abdullah ibn Abbas were very young people when the Prophet died, alayhi salam, between 9 and 12 years old. And people like Hassan and Hussein were younger, far younger when the Prophet died. But they could know. One of the ahadith we read here, Al-Hassan said, Hafiz to me Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I memorized from the Prophet Muhammad. So suhbah is established, companionship of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is established for anyone who is intelligent enough to know that he met the Prophet Muhammad. So that is the implication of saying that somebody is a companion. That does not mean that the Prophet saw him. It does not mean that the Prophet saw him or the Prophet knew him. Once he saw the Prophet a lot, he was from amongst the Muslims and he died upon Islam, he's a Sahaba, he's a Sahabi of the Prophet Muhammad. So some of these groups of people, large number of them, a large number of people, over 140,000. Yes, the number of people who performed Hajjatul Wida is usually mentioned to be about 140,000. It is not every Muslim that performed the Hajj. Some did not, they have performed. They came, they left, went to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, went to their places. So their number is large. And some of the companions have compiled the names and biographies of companions. Some of the scholars have done that. Like Al-Imam ibn Abd al-Barr, he has the book Al-Isti'ab fi Marifat al-Ashab. Al-Imam ibn Abd al-Barr. We have Al-Isaba fi Tamyiz al-Sahaba by Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar. And others, Imam al-Suyuti also has compilation of companions' biography, amongst others. It's a very, very important aspect of our religion to know about the companions. Very, very important, because they were the ones who received our religion. So if we don't know about them, then what we will know about our religion will be small, because some of their actions are interpretations of rulings in our religion. So we have to know about the companions as much as possible. So some of the companions asked Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قالوا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, they said to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, يا رسول الله, O Allah's Messenger, ذهب أهل الدفور بالأجور, the people of Dufur, Dufur is a jam of the word Dafrun. Dafrun, ulama say it means malun kasir, kasirul mal. So when there is enormous wealth, it did not say ذهب الأغنياء بالأجور, because the wealth of the Ahl al-Dufur is more than saying غني, tremendous wealth, wealth that is more than saying he is rich. You are not describing it properly except you put he is tremendously rich. That is when you would have described such person. Recently, a sister wanted to build a madrasa. So, her budget is 80 million. So she went to her father and said, give me 100 million. Your father gave her 250 million. So when you describe the wealth of those people, you don't say they are rich. You must put tremendous there.
So that you describe him properly.
Yeah, okay, add this one, yeah, remove this one, put this one. Okay, I say okay. So the next thing she's hearing is a GTB bank alert, 250 million in her account, right there. And the same month, the same person gave 100 million naira to National Mosque, whatever. They did the Sadauna Foundation. The same month, he gave them 100 million to. The daughter, I gave the daughter 250. Go build the school. So when you say those, when you mention those kind of words, you don't say, ah, he's rich. If you say he's rich, you have not described him. So this is Dasrul Mal. I mean, Mal Kasir, this is Dasr. So Ahlu Dufu, tremendously rich people have taken all the rewards, O Messenger of Allah. So the companions came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They called whom yusabiquna fil khairat. They contest or yusari'una fil khairat, like Allah says specifically. I think mu'minun. They contest upon good deeds to see that they have done the good deeds. And Ahlul Dusur from amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are people like Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. People like Uthman ibn Affan. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was preparing what is referred to as Jayshul Ufra, that is the soldier that fought a war of difficulty. That is the soldier that the troops that went to Tabuk. There was heat. There was no money. The distance was far. The soldiers they are going to meet, they are large. There is no equipment. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who equips Jayshul Ultra, lahul jannah. The one who provides wealth, provision for these soldiers, he has al-jannah. Uthman provided them resources. Radiallahu anhu. Uthman ibn Affan, what did they need? Money, cattle, provided resources. People went and came back. So he's from Ahlul Dusur amongst the companions. Also when the Prophet made Hijrah alayhi salatu wasalam, there is what they call Bi'irul Ruma, a well that was the only surviving well at the time from which people could drink. It was said to be owned by non-Muslims. The Prophet said, anyone who buys this well, he has Al-Jannah. Uthman ibn Affan heard it. He was not there when the Prophet made the statement. But when he heard it, he came and bought it. According to Al-Imam al-Zahabi, alayhi rahmatullah, in his book, Sirah Alam al-Nubala. When he bought it, he now came to the Prophet, alayhi salam. What did you say about any person who buys Bi'ru Ruma? Say, lahul jannah. Say, I have bought it. He says, la yadurru ibn Affan ma yaf'alu ba'da al-yawm. Do anything you like, nothing you have, just do anything you like after today. No. So this is from Ahlul Dusur. They don't only have reward, they have all the reward of other people too who enjoy from that thing, who drink from that beer. Beer Ruma. He has very many other fadai. The same thing with Abu Bakr and Siddiq. And for Abu Bakr and Siddiq, all his wealth, he spent it upon Islam. The day he was dying, he was not having anything in his house except a jufna, a pan. Abu Bakr Siddiq, all the wealth upon Islam. And that's why he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in some riwayat, he said, ma nafa'ani malun. But a better riwayat is in silsilatu ahadith, is sahiha from al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ma nafa'ana malu ahadin qat. Ma nafa'ana malu Abu Bakr Siddiq. Say, ma nafa'ana. The first one says, ma nafa'ani malun. Ma nafa'ani malu Abu Bakr Siddiq. This is the riwayah of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi. But in the riwayah of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, it says, ma nafa'ana malun. Malu ahadin qat. The wealth of anybody did not bring benefit to us. Ma nafa'ana malu Abu Bakr Siddiq. the way the wealth of Abu Bakr and Siddiq brought wealth to us. No wealth gave us. In another riwayah, I said, there is nobody who has accepted Islam except Walana alayhi yad. Except that it is we who have favor over him, illa Abu Bakr and Siddiq. Ma khala Abu Bakr and Siddiq. Except Abu Bakr and Siddiq. Falahu yadun alayna. He has favor upon us. And then he said, made this statement. Ma nafa'na malu, malu ahadin. Ma nafa'na malu Abu Bakr and Siddiq. Radiyallahu anhu. And what did he say when he heard that? He said, Fabaka Abu Bakr and Siddiq. Abu Bakr and Siddiq was crying. Because to them, it is not over yet. For the companions, radiyallahu anhum, for every good deed they do, it is not over yet. For Uthman ibn Affan, you have told him, do what you like. But still, they did not take it that it was over yet. That you have said, I should do what I like, as you know. Aisha radiyallahu anha asked the Prophet Muhammad. This hadith is in Sunan ibn Majah. And Sheikh Salim ibn Eid al-Hilali mentioned that this hadith is Hassan. He said that Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there is a portion in Surah al-Mu'minun that in it Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ Raji'un. He said, Aisha was asking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are these people? Ahum al-ladina yashribun al-khamr wa yasrifun fi amwalihim. Are they the people who are drinking alcohol and just spending money? That is, yu'tuna ma atu. They give what they give. Those people who give what they give. Wa qulubuhum wajlatun. Yet their hearts are trembling. They are afraid because they want to meet Allah. Annahum ila rabbihim raji'un. They are scared. They have given, but they are still scared. So Aisha radiallahu anha is asking, who are these people? Are they those people who spend their money to buy alcohol? Are they the people who just lavish money? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la ya bint as-siddiq. No, the daughter of Abu Bakr as-siddiq. It is not those people. It says, humul ladina. يصلون ويصومون ويتصدقون ويخافون ألا يقبل منهم. They fast, they pray, and they make sadaqah. But they are scared that all of these their works is not accepted. So he says, وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَاتٌ. Despite all these things they have done, they are still scared, they are still afraid. How if we meet Allah, how will it be? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in that hadith, that أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَانِ. These are the people who make efforts, strive to be in the forefront. What did he say? He says, وَهُمْ لَهَا صَادِقُونَ. And they did, that is where they will be. That's why the companions now started saying that ذَهَبَ أَهْلُ الدُّسُورِ بِالْأُجُورِ. These people are taking all the rewards now. They've gotten all the rewards. We were just calling for the jihad. Yes, we were called for jihad. But they have the reward from our own efforts. Bil ujur. Ujur too is a lot of rewards, tremendous amount of rewards. These people have taken all the rewards. So they explain what they meant. Yusalluna kama nusalli. We pray, they pray. Uthman ibn Affan pray. Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq pray. Abdurrahman ibn Awf, who was standing upon the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All the time the Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam, it was Abdurrahman ibn Auf that was taking care of the wealth of whatever they needed in the household of the Prophet Muhammad. Abdurrahman ibn Auf took care of any expenses in the house of the Prophet Muhammad. Recently somebody was saying that they want to do one foundation for orphan and widow. I said, go and sit down somewhere, what orphan and widow? Marry the women and take the children with them. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he married Umm Salama, did he not take Imra and Omar? Which foundation? So when you finish one foundation for Orphan and Widow, you start another foundation for Salat, another foundation for Sawm, fasting, another foundation for Zakah, and one foundation to make sure that Muslims are sleeping well in their house. So how many things in Islam are we going to be forming foundation for? The problem is that even those people who form those foundations, their wives will not, in most of the cases, underline, allow their husbands to take those kind of women to their homes. And women need more than 5,000 naira per month that their foundation will gather and give them in the month. If you have seen, there are widows. I know widows. I know people who are millionaires. They don't have husbands. But the millions does not suffice. They wanted it. They want to marry people. So when they form a foundation, they'll be giving them 5,000 per month. They go and announce it in Daily Trust. Ali Amana Widow Foundation. He gave some group of women 5,000. This is the kind of Islam they want to practice. So these people, radiallahu anhum, amongst the companions of Allah's Messenger, say, the Prophet said, they said, they were asking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those people, yusalluna kama nusalli. As we pray, they pray. They are praying too. We pray. They make obligatory prayers, we make obligatory prayers. Perhaps they are even better than us. Of course, khairu hadhihi al-umma ba'da nabiyha Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Khalas. So what do you want to say? When the Prophet could not pray, he was the one he told to lead the salah. If he's not the best amongst them, even in the salah, how will he tell him to lead the salah? They told him to lead the salah. Aisha was saying, ah, you have a shot. I said, leave, let him lead the salah. Radiallahu anhu. And that was why when he died, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the people wanted to know who will be the next leader of the Muslims, Umar was saying to the people that, let us invest our hereafter to the one to whom the Prophet had invested our salah. Let us invest our dunya, our life affairs, to the one to whom the Prophet has invested the matter of our hereafter. So he says, so anyone who wants to come in front of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, let him come forward. So everybody just kept silent. And he became the Khalifa. So they pray too, we pray. So he said, we are sumuna kama nasum. They fast as we are also fasting. And where to sadaquna bi fuduli amwalihim. Aha. Excess, this tremendous wealth, this dufur that they had, yatasaddaquna biha. They make sadaqah with it. Left, right, center. Sadaqah, everywhere. There are people also in our time that are not, you know, so stingy like the rest of the Muslims too, like many of the Muslims. Many people are stingy today. They don't spend their money. People will declare that they have 35 billion. Before that time, nobody knew that they have 100 million. And they are living amongst Muslims. And they say they have 35 billion before they became anything. So after they became, 4 years after, recently one non-Muslim gave 100 million US dollars. Less than 2 weeks ago. It's on the papers. 100 million US dollars. He gave it out to charity. Non-Muslim. They asked him, why did you do that? He said, because he said, there are people who are far more richer than me, but I want to teach them lessons that they should spend what they have. A non-Muslim, if you want to be telling Muslims, they should spend what they have. So this fadlul mal, what do you want to do with it? This excess wealth, what do you want? Ikhwan, Muslims have money. There's wealth amongst the Muslims. But where is the sadaqah? Where is even zakah? Of course it's from it. Because the sadaqah will include that which is obligatory and that which is supererogatory. Where is it? Where is the wealth? Where is the excess wealth being spent? So but these people, radiallahu anhum, because they know that this world is paltry, you know, is paltry and trifling, is just a transition place. So they got wealth and they spend the money. This is how the Muslim should be. It's not that he will be running away from it. If the wealth come, Allah is al-Razzaq, Allah al-Razzaq on him, spend the money. So that he will earn the hereafter. That's why he says, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. He says, وَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. This wealth you have is ihsan from Allah to you. So you to give it out. So let's try to give out what we have. Excess wealth. So these people asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that despite all these people spend all this money, they even be fasting, you don't need to pay money to fast. We are fasting, they are also joining us. We are making salah, prayer, they are joining us. But they have something we don't have. And this is where one of the scholars said, he said that Al-Ghaniyu Ash-Shakir أفضل من الفقير الصابر. الغني الشاكر أفضل من الفقير الصابر. The one who is rich, الشاكر, is grateful to Allah for that wealth. Meaning, he is doing what Allah wants with that wealth. أفضل من الفقير. He is better than the poor person. As well, you say, oh, I just be patient. So, the one who has wealth and is doing what Allah wants with that wealth is better. Of course, this is one evidence. If they are not better, if they themselves didn't consider them better than themselves, they would not have said what they said. We are tafwa dakuna bi fuduli amwali. They make sadaqa with their excess wealth that we don't have. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, awalaysa qad ja'ala Allahu lakum ma tafaddaqun. Is it not, has Allah not given you what by which you also make sadaqah? Allah has also given you what by which or through which you can give sadaqah. If they give wealth, you too can give something. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, inna bi kulli tasbihatin sadaqatan. So he said, because for every tasbih is to say what? Subhanallah. It is sadaqah. It is charity. وَكُلُّ تَكْبِيرَةٍ صَدَقَةً. And every takbir, saying Allahu Akbar, is sadaqah. وَكُلُّ تَحْمِيدَةٍ صَدَقَةً. And every tahmid, to say Alhamdulillah, it is sadaqah. وَكُلُّ تَحْلِيلَةٍ صَدَقَةً. Every saying La ilaha illallah, it is what? Sadaqah. It is charity. Meaning, the wealthy man can give his wealth today, can give his wealth tomorrow. But if he gives 10, 20, 30 in those incidences, you too could have made how many tasbih, how many tahleel, how many between the hours. You can spend more time to be making tasbih, to be making tahleel, to be making tahmeed. So as they give the own sadaqah, you too, you are increasing your own wealth by your own sadaqah, by your own making of all these adhkar. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa amrun bil ma'rufi sadaqah. Every act of ordering good is also charity. When you order somebody to do what is good, it is charity. So when you don't have wealth to spend for sadaqah, you can't also see somebody not doing what he's supposed to do and you are not telling him. You can't even spend the time to make tasbih. You can't spend the time to make tahleel, to make tahmeed and all of these. All of which does not require that you have to sit down in the masjid to do this. It's not a condition that you have to sit down in the masjid before you can say Alhamdulillah, before you can say Subhanallah, before you can say La ilaha illallah. It doesn't need anything other than your attention and few seconds, 4 seconds maximum. La ilaha illallah. Less than 3 seconds. That's all you need. And so imagine how many La ilaha illallah you can say in 1 hour. So you have a lot of sadaqat that you would have spent and earned as a result of these statements. But some things prevent all these from occurring. One of them is much talk. When you talk too much, you will not be able to do all this. And most of the times, there are talks that does not bring any value, such as discussing a football match. It does not bring any value. It does not have any value. So the 30 minutes that you use to preview a match, the 1.5 hours you use to watch the match, and another 30 minutes you use to post view the match, how many La ilaha illallah do you think you can? And this is somebody who will spend another 200 naira to watch the same match. So the money he's supposed to use in Sodako, he lost it. The ads he's supposed to spend to make all these stuff, the hats and tahleel and tahneed, he also lost it. So it's real khusran, it's real loss. So the same thing with other kinds of discussions that are time-wasting ventures that people get engaged in. Each person knows his own. Each person knows his own or her own, as the case may be. So it says, وَنَحْيُنْ عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ صَدَقَةٌ. Every evil that you see and you say, please don't do this evil, is bad, it is sadaqah for you. It is sadaqah. It says, وَفِي بُضْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةٌ. When you cohabit with your wife, it's sadaqah. Mm-hmm. Look at our religion. A man has his wife and he cohabits with her, he has sexual relations with her, it is sadaqah. See, بُضْعِ. Ulama say this is kinaya for al-jima. It's a replacing word usage, so to speak, for conjugal relations. So instead of saying jima, they use the word budri. Ahadikum. The Prophet said it is what? Sadaqatun. It is charity. So this one stared them. That tasbih is sadaqah, no problem. La ilaha illallah is sadaqah, no problem. Alhamdulillah is sadaqah. All these ones, no problem. Amru bil ma'ruf, sadaqah, la bas. Nahyun anil munkar, sadaqah, no problem. But to cohabit with one's wife is sadaqah, so they ask the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Qalu ya Rasulallah. They said, oh Allah's Messenger, ayati ahaduna shahawatahu wa yakunu lahu fiha ajr. O Messenger of Allah, should any one of us, each of us, goes to his should any one of us extend his shahwa, his desire, fulfill his desire? Should any one of us, ya'ti ahaduna shahwatahu, any one of us will fulfill his desire, wa yakunu laha fiha ajr, and in his fulfillment of his desire, he will get reward? The desire to have relations with his wife. And in that, there is reward to take sadaqah to, like giving money, spending, like the kind of money Usman is spending too. So that's too. Relating with my wife in my house too can do that. Can be sadaqah like that too. So we ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasallam, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ وَضَعَهَا فِي حَرَامٍ أَكَانَ عَلَيْهِ فِيهَا وِزْرٌ. What do you feel? أَرَأَيْتَ. What's your opinion? How do you view it? لَوْ وَضَعَهَا فِي حَرَامٍ. If he extends his desire in things that, in the prohibited, that is, if he met somebody other than his wife, أَكَانَ عَلَيْهِ فِيهَا وِزْرٌ. Will he be sinning? That one is clear to them. Because Allah has told them, لا تقربوا الزنا. إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا. And when he described the believer, he says, ولا يزنون عباد الرحمن. Cool? So they know that one, that yes, يكون عليه وزر إذا وضعها في الحرام. If he fulfills his desire from a woman or with a woman that is not permitted for him as his wife or a slave girl, he says that is haram. They know. So the Prophet said alayhi salam, they responded because he was asking them what they feel. What's your opinion about it? What do you know about this? What can you say? He says, qalu na'am. So yes, it will be wizr. Yakunu alayhi wizr. So he said alayhi salatu wasalam, fa kazalika. Look at how the Prophet convinced them. They were scared. So are you, like we used to mention this, this is from the Asalib al-Tarbawiyyah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Somebody is saying something, throw a question to him that will make him easily grasp what you say. Sometimes it may be grabbing the person's hand. Sometimes it may be to say something, just saying something. Like he did in the hadith of Tamim ibn Aus, Ad-Din al-Nasiha. الدين النصيحة، الدين قلنا لمن؟ ألا تسمعون، ألا تسمعون. Do they not hear what? So the Prophet has many ways, alayhi salatu wasalam, by which he calls people's attention to affairs, and by which he gets them convinced of what he says to them, alayhi salatu wasalam. So here, what he said to them was, if he fulfilled his desire in something that is prohibited, will it not be a sin? Will he not be carrying the burdens of sin on him for that? Yes, he will carry the burdens. This is فَكَذَلِكَ. He now responded in affirmation of their response. He says, فَكَذَلِكَ إِذَا وَضَعَهَا فِي الْحَلَالِ. The same way he will be carrying a burden if he were to be fulfilling his desire in a sin. The same way he'll be carrying a burden, says فَكَذَلِكَ. The same way إِذَا وَضَعَهَا فِي الْحَلَالِ. The basis now changes. If he places it in halal, the same way he'll be carrying a burden if it were to be in haram, that is the same way, says فَكَذَلِكَ إِذَا وَضَعَهَا فِي الْحَلَالِ كَانَ لَهُ أَجْرٌ. So if he puts it, invests it, expends it in the things that are what? Prohibited. The same way is the way he will be rewarded this time with good, because the basis has changed. If he places it in halal, he will have ajr for his investment of his desire in the things that are what? Halal. This is qiyas that the Prophet made, alayhi salatu wasalam. That hadith was reported by Imam Muslim. So the same way he's going to carry the burdens if he placed it in haram, that is the same way he will get the reward if he places it in halal. So this is the meaning of the hadith that we have read. And it contains a lot of benefits that the scholars have mentioned. From those benefits that the scholars have mentioned is that they are asking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that ذهب أهل الدثور بالأجور, that the rich people have gone. They were not intending to make hasadu. They were not jealous. They were just saying they have done this, what can we also do? So it shows their hirs ala ta'at, their interest, their zeal to carry out good deeds. So when Allah says, Sari'u ila magfirati min rabbika, or sabiku ila magfirati min rabbika, make haste towards seeking Allah's forgiveness or goodness from Allah. This is from their making haste. They are not, you know, relenting. So nobody should relent. No matter what you do, don't relent. Don't relent. Even the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he did not relent. He was told that he had been forgiven. مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Yet he did not relent. When he was asked by Aisha radiallahu anha why he stood long time in his late night prayers, what did he say? He says, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a slave that is thankful to his Lord? So nobody should do anything that he should relent. No matter what you do, if it is Quran, don't relent. If it is Hadith, don't relent. Whatever you are doing that is good deed, don't relent. Don't relent on it. Like the companions. You know, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that yasumun, yusallun, wa yatasaddaqun, wa yakhafuna alla yuqbala minhum. So they are afraid that the ones they have done may not be accepted. So let them do more. And don't forget, all of the more that you do, he had said to us in the last hadith. He said, إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ أُصِّيهَا لَكُمْ ثُمَّ أُوَفِّيكُمْ إِيَّاهَا. All their deeds, I'm taking records of them, and I will reward you for them. He says, فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. The one who finds good should be thankful to Allah. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكِ فَلَا يَلُمَّنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. And the one who finds other than that should only blame himself. So he should not relent. The one who relents and finds himself at the end of the road, فَلَا يَلُمَّنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. He should not blame anybody but himself. So this is the first. And that's why the Prophet said to us, even in another hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala light from the best of these is what? Adwamha. The one that the servant is persistent upon, is consistent upon, is upon it, steadfast with it. So it shows their interest to do more deeds. So that's why they were asking. From also the benefit from this hadith is that the inability of a person to do a particular good deed does not mean that he cannot engage in other aspects of good deeds. Inability to get engaged in a particular good deed does not mean he cannot do other. Yes, they make sadaqah with excess wealth. But you too, you have other means of doing the work. There is a riwayah of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, that when the rich people heard this, they too, they increased, they were doing tasbih, they were doing tahleel, they were doing everything that those people wanted to be doing. So the poor people came to the Prophet again, alayhi salam. They have heard what he said to us. And they are also doing what he said to us that we should be doing. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. So all things being equal, the one with the wealth is better. So that guy says, so what you like? ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. They have the chance you give to us, they are following, yes. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ. Because they will also be rewarded for doing it. وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. So if they do it, they'll be rewarded. And it will not be said that because you didn't have money, so they will not be rewarded. No. So it means you have to do more of thee. So the companions hastened towards good deeds, and that if we can't have any opportunity to do all the good deeds, the one you can do, face it. So for some people, what is most easy for them is to make nawafil. So easy for them to make nawafil. Face it, hold it upon it and be doing it. But some people, it is just reading the books of hadith, reading, because that is from khair. As it is mentioned of Al-Imam Malik, it is said that he is not used to doing a lot of nawafil. It's not his doing too much now. What he does more is reading and writing, teaching. See, that is what is easy for you. Because he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, kullun muyassarun lima khuliqa lahu. Everyone is made easy for that for which he is created. So just look for the one that is easy for you and follow it. Or the one that you are able to do. If you are not, you don't have dafru, you don't have excess wealth, you can't give your daughter 250 million, but you can do tasbih 250 times. So, also from the benefits in this hadith is that we should make a lot of tasbih, because you see that even those rich people, they did not relent, they still make tasbih, they still make sawm, they still make both the obligatory ones and those ones that are supererogatory. The takbir could be supererogatory, like the takbir of starting a salah. That is obligatory code. But after salah, just remember Allah, you say Allahu Akbar. That takbir is supererogatory. So all of what is mentioned, they have their aspects, the supererogatory aspects and the obligatory aspects. Then the hadith also encourages us to make al-amru bil ma'ruf, encouraging people to do good. Ordering people to do good, encouraging if it is mustahab, ordering them if it is from the wajibat and you have the ability. So, and then also the hadith makes us understand that we should, it encourages us to forbid people evil. One common thing I know is that many times if we see somebody doing something wrong, you don't tell him. You go and tell another person, see that brother, he started doing his balu. When you saw him doing his bad, why did he not tell him? My brother, I noticed so thing. If not, he's doing with you, it's of no benefit. You go and tell somebody, and you can tell him. If you tell him, he won't cut off your head. I noticed this thing. Except if you share a fitna from telling him, maybe that's greater than telling him. Then you can tell somebody who can tell him. But many times people are able to tell people when they find something in there. And also people hate to be told. Sheikh Salim al-Hilali, in his book, Nahu Akhlaq al-Salaf, he brought some narrations from the past intercessors about their love to be told about their indecencies, their shortcomings. They like it. So after discussing it, he said, now we are in a generation where people don't like to be told about their inadequacies. They don't like to be told about their inadequacies. So it's like the scorpion is in the cloth of a person. You see it and you say, you're a nice guy. He said, and that the person commits a sin and he is left is worse than that he has a scorpion under his clothes. Do you understand? If somebody has a scorpion under his clothes, now say, brother, please. I've seen it before. The brother was being beaten by a scorpion in Damaturu. I was there. The place, everywhere scattered. As he held here, you know how the scorpion stings. Or does it bite? It stings. So, before he knew almost three or four places, the whole place was scattered. You know, people have two fears. The brother and themselves. So that does not, because it moves very swiftly. So, because we feel we need to save the brother. So everybody was scared for himself, one, but more scared for the brother who was already beaten, who was already stung. So the effort was on. But if it were that he committed a sin, he would not be rushed at like that. People will be looking at him. Some people will just laugh. Sheikh Salim said it is worse than that. That sin for which he is left is worse. It needed more attention than he is stung by the scorpion. So because people don't like to be told that, my brother, if you have, even when it is also possible that the one who will tell him to may not tell him in a nice manner. He may tell him to just disgrace him. This is also common now. People like to tell people something that's from their inadequacies just to disgrace them. If you do that, you not have any reward. Because all of these things that are here must be done imanan wahtisaban. Imanan wahtisaban. That is from the foundations of good deeds, being good deeds. So it must be out of iman that it is Allah that has ordered you to do it and you are doing it for Him alone. Wahtisaban, and you are expecting reward from it. Will you also be expecting reward for encouraging a brother to drop something he's doing that is bad? And you are doing so for the intention of disgracing him. Will you also be expecting that Allah reward you for that one? Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody is doing telling a brother something that, why are you doing so? To disgrace him. Is he also expecting that Allah will reward him for that one? That he's going to disgrace that brother? Allah. So all of these things are from a complex problem structure, so to speak, about issues of amru bil ma'ruf. But what is better is do it with the sincere intention. Be sure that he is erring. Be sure that it's a mistake. Be sure that it's a mistake. Many times people just think that somebody did something thinking that it's a mistake and they have held it against him that it's a mistake. Many times people do something that it is not a mistake, but you, because of what you know. That is why the ulama say, La taf'alu kama yaf'alu al-faqih, salhu yusaddiquka. You see somebody knowing what he does. He's not just a street person, he knows what he's doing. If he does something, he thinks that he just did it. If you ask him, he will tell you why he did what he did. So be sure that the person is really making a mistake. Perhaps he does not consider it as from a mistake. Even if it's a matter of Sharia, he will start giving evidence that he does not think that what you have said is right. Start giving you hadith now. You start talking. But you have only thought before that he doesn't know, he doesn't have any reason for what he said. So you start attacking. Bam, 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 bam. So it is after you have made him see reasons and you see, oh, this hadith is authentic, he agrees that it's authentic, but he does not like to follow it all. Then he starts knowing this, perhaps he does not want to accept the truth. And even that, it has its own fake, based on what he is doing, based on who he is, based on what he is doing spread, is like that. All of these things will be from what we will consider to know the kind of actions and dispositions we are going to have. So this aspect has caused many problems amongst brothers and perhaps Muslim women. The way and manner we get people corrected. So sometimes people don't like to accept to be corrected. Sometimes the one who is correcting just think that somebody did something. In his heart, he had something. This one day he said, or one day he did. Perhaps he might not intend it. He might not even have thought of it that that was what the brother got from what he said. So all of these things, we should watch them so that they don't destroy what is in between us. And even if you want to make the correction, correct in a nice manner. It says, "Udur ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal mu'izati al-hasan." About the non-Muslims. It says, "Wala tujadilu ahla al-kitab illa billati hiya ahsanu illa alladhina zalamu." If ahla al-kitab, Allah is still telling you, don't discuss with them except in a nice manner. What about the Muslim? So the Muslim needs more attention, more niceness than the non-Muslims. Also, this hadith has been used by some of the scholars to establish that there is qiyas in Islam. That qiyas is from the foundations of Islam, qiyas. That is deductive legal reasoning. Because of what the Prophet did here, alayhi salatu wasalam. He asked them, alayhi salatu wasalam, that, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ وَضَعَهَا فِي الْحَرَامِ. Do you understand? So, what if he did it in haram? They know, the ruling on, if a man cohabits with a woman that is not his wife, is established. So the first item in qiyas, there are about four of them, cool? The first one, al-hukm. The second one is what? Al-illah, al-asl, wal-far. These are the four basic components, so to speak, of what is referred to as what? A qiyas. A qiyas is drawing a legal ruling from something. We'll explain using this hadith, inshallah. What the hukum is, the action here is cohabitation. Oh. And the ruling, with the first ruling, hukmul asl, is haram. The hassle here is to cohabit with somebody who is not one's wife, because it is from there that the ruling for cohabiting with your wife is derived. So the basic ruling on that is that it is haram. So what connects between the first case and the second case is sexual cohabitation between the two. So the farq, the one we want to now look for a ruling for, is what? Cohabiting with somebody who is your wife. We have the first basic ruling that is known, that to cohabit with someone else's, to cohabit with any other woman that is not your wife is prohibited. And it's not your slave girl, it's prohibited. This is the basic ruling. So, to cohabit with your own wife, the connection between these two is cohabitation. This is the illah. But if I cohabit with my wife, will I have reward? It is the hukmul far that I want to discover. So, I'm borrowing the ruling from the other one. If she's not my wife, and I'm a person will be earning a sin from other than his wife, and it is still issue of cohabitation, it means if it is his wife that is halal for him, then she will have reward. But the issue is, the basis changed. The first basis was another one's, any other woman other than his wife. The second basis here is his own wife. So the basis of the ruling changed. And so the ruling also did what? Changed. There are some other aspects the scholars. It is called al-qiyasu bil-aqs, taking legal deduction with the opposite. There is no hadith that says if you want to go into a bathroom, you should go with your left leg. There is no hadith. There is no hadith that says if you want to go into a bathroom, go with your left leg. There is no hadith. Ulama said that. And Imam al-Nawawi said that. Others said it too. The best of what is used to establish that, of course, which is better than qiyas, is al-ijma. And Imam al-Nawawi mentioned an ijma for it. An ijma is supersedes qiyas in the root legal framework of the Sharia. So the first ruling that says, if you want to go into a bathroom, if you are asked, what is the evidence of going into a bathroom with your left leg, say ijma. That is the evidence. Okay. The second, can we have any other evidence from any of the qiyas? And it is still al-qiyas bil aqs. Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. I said, when is, because the hadith of Anas bin Malik that al-Imam al-Hakim has reported, that Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu said that from the sunnah is that when we come into the masjid, we should come with our right feet. When we go out of the masjid, we should go out with our left feet. This is from where the ruling for the bathroom was deduced. That if we go to a filthy area with our left feet, a place where we can't make salah, such as the bathroom, if we go into the masjid with our right feet, a place where we can make salah, and then we are going to, if we have to go to a place where we cannot make salah, such as the bathroom, we go with our left. Because the basic ruling, the basis change, so the ruling has to also basically change to the opposite. We are going to the masjid with our left feet, is what the sunnah says. In a place where we can make salah, in a place where we seek Allah's favor, and all of it, we seek His favor in the masjid. So we go with our right. We are told to go with our right in the hadith. And the hadith is authentic. It's mentioned authentic by Sheikh al-Albani in Silsilat al-Hadith al-Sahihah. But if we are going into the bathroom now, in a place where we seek refuge of Allah, min al-khubs wal-khaba'is, we seek Allah's refuge, we cannot perform salah there. Salah is not permissible in the lavatories. Do you understand? So the ruling has changed regarding that of the masjid. So the ruling of what do we start with also changes. It is still the same qiyas bil aqs. So this is the explanation of Al-Imam al-Nawawi. So this hadith is evidence that there is qiyas in Islam. That somebody can make qiyas. Of course, someone who has the ahliya of making qiyas, who has the capability to make qiyas, will make qiyas. Because it's just like ijtihad. Even when ijtihad is more encompassing than qiyas. But every qiyas is ijtihad. But not every ijtihad is a qiyas. Every qiyas is an ijtihad. But not every ijtihad is from qiyas. So it's just like ijtihad. Someone must have the ability, the person to give qiyas, then he gives qiyas. So, but qiyas is established in the Sharia. So this one is usually referred to by the scholars al-qiyas al-sahih. The qiyas that is accepted is right. Some other scholars refer to us as al-mizan. Al-Imam ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, alayhi rahmatullah, ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he said, when Allah said in Surah al-Hadid that لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وأنزلنا معهم الكتاب والميزان ليقوم الناس بالقسط. He said this mizan is qiyas. He said because it is from the kitab. The kitab does not contain every single ruling on every single matter. So he gave them kitab and mizan, qiyas, from which they will be drawing the legal rulings from the kitab. So that's why many of the scholars say the best name to call qiyas al-sahih is to say al-mizan. So qiyas is in our Sharia, and it is done by those who have the legal ability to make qiyas. But the qiyas that the Sharia prohibits is a qiyas that is also that contradicts the text of Quran and Hadith. Someone says MTN has their modem with which people make internet browsing. And you know, you load some money and then you have access. Just this morning, the brother was asking me, So he said, the person said so. Allahu Alam, people are discovering many things. He said, from his own knowledge, that there are things people can do, and they will not pay, but they will be using that thing. Is it legal in Sharia? I said, no, it's not legal. He said, but MTN is cheating us too. I said, how is MTN cheating you? People don't know this. Those people will hardly cheat you legally. You know why I say so? You see, when the day you buy a SIM card, read through, people don't care about things like this. There is a paper attached. They have said all these things there that look, if they don't have service, you cannot sue them to court. Oh. If they can deduce whatever they have said all these things and you have accepted. You bought it, you accepted, you agreed to all their terms. So why are you saying they are cheating you? If they don't have service. So the person said, hey, but they are cheating. I said, how are they cheating you? Mahalu Shahid is enough said, can't somebody make a qiyas from the hadith that a woman can take from the money of her husband if the husband is not spending upon her? Because if the husband is not spending upon her, he's cheating her, so she can take. So I asked him, I said, who is the husband and wife? Is it you or MT? So this kind of a qiyas is al-qiyas al-fasid. It's a baseless qiyas. So Allah says, لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل. Do not take your wealth in between yourself in manners that are not accepted. So this is taking MTN's wealth, enjoying their service in a manner that is not accepted. And to say that sometimes MTN, they don't give us service, is not a justification. Because actually by that, you have agreed that that thing could happen sometimes. So perhaps you are the one teaching MTN now. So such kind of chaos are prohibited in the Sharia. Or the one who makes chaos like Ahmad Bumi, that Allah says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى يُرِبِي صَدَقًا. But these people now, their wealth is now increasing, their economy is buoyant. So riba should be accepted. It is al-qiyas will ask to do, but it's qiyas batil. The first evidence for that is that it contradicts clear text of Kutab and Sunnah. Because qiyas cannot exist on its own. Qiyas is in the place where there is no hadith, there is no verse of Quran. So you start looking for something to depend upon. But when there's a text, that's why it says that إِذَا وَرَدَ الْأَثَرُ بَطَلَ النَّظَرُ. Nazar qiyas also is included. إِذَا وَرَدَ الْأَثَرُ, when a narration is given, بَطَلَ النَّظَرُ, any kind of opinion is also batil. So when there's a text on a matter, you don't make qiyas. You don't say there's a qiyas on one matter. When there's a text, and now our generation has changed from generation of the Prophet. If at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, women can't travel except with a mahram because the journey is far, because they are using camel, because it is in desert, because. So the ruling should change. We say la. He said alayhi salatu wasalam, la tahujjanna imra'atun illa wa ma'aha zawjuha. Khalas. No woman should make hajj except that her zawj or zu mahramiha or her mahram is with him, with her. His text. So that qiyas, you just say to him, إِذَا وَرَدَ الْأَثَرُ بَطَلَ النَّظَرُ. So Ahmad Gumi too, he say, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ رِبَى يُرِبِي الصَّدَقَةُ. Even when his qiyas is wrong, the economy of the European countries, there is no any buoyancy there if he knows what he's saying. What is buoyant in the economy? That companies are folding up, that people are getting increasingly unemployed. What is the buoyancy that upon which is basing is baseless? Baseless qiyas. So these are the kind of qiyas that the ulama sabiqun have prohibited that Muslims should make, and those who still exist and upon the path of the sabiqun still say today that such kind of qiyas is qiyas al-fasid, baseless qiyas that the Sharia prohibits. This is the kind of qiyas that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was referring to in his book Usul Sunnah. So those kind of qiyas are prohibited forms of qiyas. But the qiyas of sahih, that is done when there is no text clearly on a matter and does not contradict the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, and that is done by those who have the ability to make such qiyas, those qiyas are accepted and they are from the Sharia of Islam. So these are some of the benefits in this hadith. I think, inshallah, the hadith is, will be understood. Bismillah. I pray Almighty Allah to make us understand better than it has been explained. Perhaps if there are one or two questions, we can attempt to answer them, inshallah. Alaykum salam.
A case that, how do you do some of the case that we are in a particular mosque? And some people came with some bags that they have drawings of animals, all these. And how do you address those people? After addressing them, telling them that they should take off their bag and distracting the animals from coming. How do you do that?
You have told them.
You be praying with them in the morning.
When did you tell them?
Eh?
When did you tell them that it is bad? Is it before the prayer or after the prayer?
It was after the prayer.
After the prayer. The prayer is finished. Yes, we go. They are leaving the mosque.
They are leaving, yes, but they just come from camping time.
Okay. Okay.
And they're able to tell me the truth.
It depends on what status you have in the masjid. It depends on the status you have in the masjid. If you have a status of the authority of, you can order such things out of the masjid, you can do it. If you are not, your status is just to be able to say it. If your status is just to be able to hate it in your heart, hate it. So those are the three positions somebody will always be in matters like this. You are either in a position to order that the bag should be taken out, or you are in a position to say it nicely that it should be taken out, or you are in a position to just hit it again. That, well, you can't say if you say now, you find yourself in kirikiri or something worse, la samalla for you. Do you understand? You just do as is possible for you. Wala yukallifullahu nafsan.
The
Adhan is called at their times. If you want to call it twice, are you also after the Fajr is out? Are you also going to be telling them that as-salatu khairun min an-nawm, when the Fajr is also out already? As-salatu khairun min an-nawm is better, is an adhan for a person who is sleeping, that you want to wake up and say, hey, come and pray. So you say as-salatu khairun min an-nawm. The one that the time of salah is reached, you tell him hayya ala salah, finish, no any tasweeb. Is it strange? I don't think it should be strange for us that the first azan of the day, when we wake up in the morning, is to say as-salatu khairu minan-nawm. That is established from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar and reported by Imam al-Bayhaqi. The hadith is authentic. He said the first azan is to say as-salatu khairu minan-nawm. Then at the time when the time of Fajr is reached, the time of Salah to Subhi is reached, you just call people to come and pray Hayya ala Salah, and it ends the Hayya ala Salah, the normal Adhan, like all other Salawat. But the other one, you wake the people to make Qiyamul Layl. So if you can't call them to make Qiyamul Layl at the time of Qiyamul Layl, why do you want to start telling them that they should also stand up at the time that you should tell them to come for prayer? No. What I'm saying is that those two adhan are to do two different things in the Sharia. Do you understand? They are for different times. When the time of one is gone, you don't bring it back again, because its time is gone. You just make the adhan and they should come to the masjid to pray. Okay.
In the mosque, before, they usually call the two prayers at their time. When it comes to the time, they don't call the first one, except the last one. So in the case like that,
you should call the last one to call people to come and pray.
So he is trying to
The Adhan itself is not compulsory, except when it becomes something abandoned. If it is abandoned, people are fought. So that's why Ulama said the best of what you can say about Adhan is that it is sunnah to mu'akkada. But it's not obligatory. And when its time has gone. Except if you are praying alone. You are praying alone or you are praying to a group of people, you travelers and all that, make Adhan. Wherever you are. But if you go and make an Adhan where people have just prayed, then you cause problem. They may think there is a problem in the masjid. So you can make an Adhan with a low voice, I mean, for yourself. It's from the sunnah too. You want to pray in your house, you can make an Adhan if it's an obligatory prayer. That's what I'm saying. Or you're alone somewhere, you want to pray, you can make an Adhan for yourself before you make the Iqamah. But that Adhan is the Adhan of the Salah you want to perform. Not the Adhan of something that should have come earlier. That one is permissible. So you don't need to bring back and say, make two Adhans. When you're supposed to make one at the time that the Fajr is already out. You want to call the people to come and pray. Allahu Alam. I hope it is clear. Alaykum as-salam.
My question is for Ibrahim. He wanted, he wants more explanation on whether or not he's planning for one to work in Nigeria. According to his own view, he says like lending credence to democracy by working in Nigeria. So he wants more explanation.
I think there is no explanation before. Talk less of more. I think big scholars are the ones who address issues like this. So work in INEC, to contest election, vote election, all of this. The best of some of what we can say is that democracy is not permitted in the Sharia. So, but what will happen itself on the ground, bigger people will talk that one. So you can ask any other person, not me. What does it take for a person to make qiyas? The first thing is that he must have a sound grasp of Arabic language. He must understand the language very well. So he must know the grammar well and what surrounds it, its surrounding knowledge. Then he must have a sound grasp of the Quran and its tafsir from the mufassirun that are dependable. Many people have made tafsir of Quran and they are not qualified to make tafsir. One of them is Sayyid Qutb. He made tafsir of the Quran while not being qualified. This is what ulama say. I'm not the one who said that Sayyid Qutb is not qualified to make tafsir. But he made tafsir fi zilalil Quran. And the ulama have said that that is just, and because there are a lot of errors, akhta akdiya hatta. There are mistakes of akida in the tafsir itself. Many in it. So we have said that tafsir is not a defendable one. So if a person makes a read, he has a good understanding. There are reliable books of tafsir like Tafsir ibn Kathir, like Jami al-Ahkam al-Quran of al-Imam al-Qurtubi, like Adwa al-Bayan fi Idah al-Quran bil-Quran by Imam Abu Mukhtar Muhammad al-Amin al-Shinqiti and others. So with this you will aid your understanding with the guidance of these eminent scholars of Islam. So also the person must have a vast knowledge of hadith in his mind and their meanings and shuruf. There are explanations also by the dependable scholars of Islam who have given explanations. Somebody can say, there is a man who I think is suffering from psychosis in Ahmadu Bello University. You know psychosis? Psychosis is a man is talking. You see truth in what he's saying, but most of what he's saying are lies, incongruences. You'll be seeing half truth, but most of it will be lies. It's a state of mind. It's a psychological illness. You say something, you'll be thinking this is true. But when you look at it, you see most of what he says are lies and senseless things. So there's a man there, his name is Isa Chikuma. He's a Ghanaian. The man has this illness. The reason why I mentioned him was that he is saying that the Muslims are now engaged with studying, reading the explanations that the past scholars have given on ahadith and verses of the Quran. That they are not wanting to make their own. So he was abusing the Muslims on this. So, you know, they say, An-nasu ar-rajulu adu ma jahila. People are usually, a man is the enemy to that regarding which he is ignorant. They say, Kam min a'ibi qawlan sahihan wa afatuhu min al-fahmi s-saqim. How many people have attacked something that is right? Wa afatuhu min al-fahmi s-saqim. The reason why he's doing that is because he himself, his head is not correct. He has problems with his mind. That is why he's attacking. Like someone is coming to say that honey is bitter. They say honey is sweet. Say no, wallahi, honey is bitter. Say okay, sorry, honey is bitter. So these are the kind of people like this. How will you understand the hadith? We read the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Radiallahu anhu. Inna ahadakum yujma'u khalquhu fi batni ummihi. If you are around at the time, there are some things you will be seeing it in the hadith, but they are not like that as you think. If you don't read Fathul Bari of Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, you will not know. You will not know that those things are not like that. Because they are going to be saying what they are saying with riwayat. With riwayat, hadith. Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah, let me just give one example with one hadith that we know. That when Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it says, فَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْ لَا رُكْبَتَيْ أَبِي وَدَا قَفَّيْهِ أَلَا فَقِذَيْ كَفَّيْهِ This, ha. For who? كَفَّيْهِ Jibreel abi. وَوَدَا قَفَّيْهِ أَلَا فَقِذَيْهِ This second he, to who? Did Jibreel place his palm on his own palm, or he placed his palm on the palms on the laps of the Prophet Muhammad? Imam al-Nawawi said that majority of the scholars say that Jibreel alayhi salam placed his own palms on his own lap. Ibn Hajar alayhi rahmatullah al-Hafiz al-Asqalani, he said this position is wrong. That Jibreel alayhi salam placed his own palms on the palms of the on the laps of the Prophet Muhammad. What is the evidence? He brought the riwayah of Abdullah ibn Abbas. That in the riwayah of Abdullah ibn Abbas, Jibreel placed, it is mentioned clearly that فَوَضَعَ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَىٰ فَخِذَيْ رَسُولِ. So you don't need commentary for Fathul Bari. You don't need it. How do you know where he placed his palm? How do you get this matter clear that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam did not place his own palms on his own lap, as it is most thought? Sheikh Salih Fawzan al-Fawzan, that is his opinion. Sheikh Salih ibn al-Uthaymeen, that is his opinion. That Jibreel alayhi salam placed his own palms on his own lap. But he placed his own palms on the laps of the Prophet. How do we know? Riwayah, hadith, another hadith. Make us understand that. And hadith is authentic. So you can't do without these books of sharh. And there is no way you can, even in translation, don't translate a hadith until you have read the sharh. This is my own work. Wallahi, if you translate a hadith, 65% error prone without reading the sharh. 65% you fall into error. So how much more someone who wants to derive legal rulings from the same hadith? It's even difficult to say you understand hadith, you have not read the sharh. You say, what? You read the sharh, you say, no, I haven't. Just keep quiet. Because 1 plus 1 you are thinking will be 2, can be 1 plus 1 can be 5. Because you'll be bringing some other things from other riwayats to make you understand that, no, it is not like that alone. No, other things were also mentioned. I think we discussed a lot of this when we discussed the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud. So any person who wants to have the ahliyah, the ability to make qiyas and ijtihad, he must have ability. So that he will not be making a qiyas regarding something about which there is a clear hadith that says that that thing is right or that thing is wrong. He will be making his own qiyas to say that what the Sharia says is right is wrong, or what the Sharia says is wrong is right. from his own kiyas because he does not have nusus hadithiyah with him. The fourth thing he needs to do, the person who have ahliyah of kiyas, he will be familiar with the fatawa of scholars. You see, when you read fatawa, you will be understanding how they do it. Like a medical doctor goes to the clinic to do teaching practice. What do they call it? No, before housemanship. Clinical. The one they do, is it clinical? They call it? Before any housemanship, when you are finished reading that there's one artery here, there's one bone here, there's one, they say, yeah, come and see the dead body. They show you the dead body for another 2 years or 3 years. After one, come and see human beings. They start telling you, start showing you in the surgery room, start showing you. From there to you to Tatakawan, you'll be knowing how it is done. So after knowing those things we have mentioned, if you read fatawa and of course relate to the scholars well, you'll be knowing, okay, that's how they used to say. They say like this, they talk like this, they don't talk like this. The scholars don't talk like this. They don't say like this. They don't do something like this. So if you want to make your case, they don't make a qiyas like this. Once someone makes that qiyas, no, that is not how they make qiyas. Because you know what it takes to make a qiyas. Once you see a qiyas, you'll be looking at those four things. Are they there? Have they been appropriately selected out? You'll be looking at those things. Once something is out, you know that is not correct. These are just few things. All these things takes a lot of years of learning. You want who is doing surgery? How many years did it take? 7 years medical school. 1 year of my shift. 1 year in white. How many years? If it's in the Sharia that he's learning, he has just said BC. He's just making istiada. He's just still starting. So until it's confirmed by a scholar, say, hey, this one, mashallah, you two, you are now capable. Go and sit down there. Hey. So he will now be gradually, and then he will know his limits too. So and then he'll be growing up gradually. As he's reading and learning and relating with the scholars, he'll be growing gradually. And then later, you'll have nuduj. He'll become consultant. He'll become professor. They are better than those professors, so I'm just using those terms so that it will come, you will understand it. Ikhwan, to be a mujtahid or mufti, doing fatwa, giving fatwa, you will read more than a professor will read. Wallahi, you will read more than professor will read. Why? When they open universities in the Muslim world, people like Al Albani, what will they give them? Professor? Imam. Alayhi rahmat. So those are the kind of things. So they need more than that. But what I'm saying is that by then you'd have matured. You know, when no matter what the situation is, if a professor in, for example, nephrology says, do it like this. Even when you see that it's wrong, you will do it like that too. If you don't do it like that and the patient dies, you are in trouble. They say the authority in the field, authority say do it like this. You say you will not do. Who are you? How many years have you stayed in medical school? The professor now said, I've stayed 35 years in a hand. I've stayed 40 years in this university. I've stayed 20 years of the 40 years as a professor. I have my professorial degree in 1976. That time you were not born, maybe. So the same thing. Unfortunately, as far as Islam is concerned, people are in a haste. And they should take more care in the aspects of the religion than in the aspects of medicine. The worst of what will happen if a medical doctor makes a mistake, that the person will die. The worst thing that will happen when you make a mistake, that people will miss their dunya and hereafter. That's why he says in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, radiyallahu anhuma, that a point in time is coming. He says, "Inna Allah la yaqbidu al-ilma illa biqabd al-ulama intiza'an min sudur al-ibad." Do you understand? Allah will not just take knowledge away from the minds of the people. So yeah, people start forgetting him. This knowledge of Islam, no. He will not take it, they will still know it. He says, وَلَكِنْ يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. What he does is, he will take knowledge away by killing the scholars. Allah will take the life of the scholars. He says, حَتَّى لَا يَكُونُ عَالِمًا. Later they will not, لَا يَكُونَ عَالِمًا. The people will not be, they will not be scholars again. فَاتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسَ جُهَالًا. So people will now take ignorant people as their leaders. فَأَفْتَوُوا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. They will now be giving fatwa without knowledge. فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. So, ضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. They will go astray and they will lead the people astray. So things like that happen when people don't have the capability, they have not passed through due process, then they start giving fatwa. It's very, very common. Very common. Very common. I hope I have answered the brother's questions, inshallah. At least giving some, shed some light on it. You know, the issue is that the journey is long. There is no one that is done outside the other. You combine all of it, but well. You combine it, but well. So, what book are they reading? You read the book there too. You see, the issue is even that sometimes people pick book and they are studying it, but they don't understand it themselves. All of what we are saying about studies too, there are some aspects of it that has to do with learning from people. And there are aspects of it that has to do with studying on your own. Even when the most of it is your own studies. So if the learned person is talking, he will be shedding light, he will be opening the road. So you go back and fool it with resources. So you can't do without reading those books from them too. You still need it. And you can't also do without your own personal studies. So the two of them will be going side by side. So if you have a masjid where they are reading a book, read with the book with them. It's a beneficial book. Read the book with them. Learn with them. Medina was not built in a day. Medina was not built in a day. I'm sure Medina is more beautiful than Rome. That's why I didn't use Rome. Medina was not built in a day. It needs time. That's what Al-Imam Shafi'i said. He ended his poem about knowledge. He says, "Akhi, lan tanala al-ilma illa bi-sittatin." My brother, you cannot be learned except if you have 16. So in the end of it, he says, "Watulu zaman." The last one is tulu zaman, long time. It's one of the things with which Allah blessed the knowledge of a man. Allah keeps his life. It's one of the reasons by which, one of the things for which Allah blesses the knowledge. Look at people like Hassan al-Banna, they started a dawah. People like Sheikh al-Albani, Sheikh Mumbaz Hussein, they also started a dawah. 45 or 50 years after al-Albani died, these people are still there. Such that people like Hassan al-Banna are almost forgotten now that they ever existed. Hassan al-Banna. Hassan al-Basri Tabi'i Jalil Ibn Abi al-Hasan. But Hassan al-Banna is the Egyptian who was the leader of the group. So but I'm just trying to say that Allah blesses the knowledge of the people by giving them long life. There's one of the books of Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah. Before the first edition, I think that is Sunan al-Arba, the four books of Sunan, Nasa'i, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, and Ibn Majah. Before they were published, 45 years before the first edition was published, Sheikh finished the work. So for about 40 years he was reading it before first edition came out. A man wrote a book for 40 years, he's looking at it. Adding, removing, for 40 years before first edition was published. What kind of thing do you think is there? If you want to talk, say, hey, keep quiet. So people come to them and say, after they go to do something, they do diploma, they do first degree hadith, they say, they have become hadith. Even the one who didn't do first degree in hadith itself, is called, they call themselves muhadithun today. Time, tool in zaman. I think we have heard enough on this, inshallah. We ask Allah to make us understand better than we have been said. Subhanaka Allahumma alhamdulillah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.